What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Fears of a recession trigger a huge sell-off on Wall Street. We'll have the details. And is it too late for Elon Musk or Twitter to call off their deal?
Even for the world's richest man, I think backing out of this deal could significantly change his finances.
Plus, what a landmark agreement for U.S. soccer means for equal pay in sports. It's Wednesday, May 18th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Dow had its worst day since 2020, and all three major indexes fell sharply after a series of disappointing earnings reports from some of the nation's biggest retailers sparked fears among investors that the economy could be headed into a recession. The Dow slid more than 1,100 points, or 3.6%. The S&P 500 was down 4%. The tech-heavy NASDAQ dropped 4.7%. In earnings reports this week, major retailers like Walmart and Target said profits were hurt by rising costs, slowing sales, and continued supply chain disruptions. Today, Target said it expects fuel and freight costs to be $1 billion higher than expected this year, but that it would absorb the increases rather than raise prices for consumers. Shares of Target dropped 25%, the company's worst one-day decline since 1987. Markets reporter Matt Grossman has more.
There have been a lot of questions over the first 4.5 months of this year about how companies and consumers would react to a world where prices are a lot higher than they were a year ago. And I think in some of these consumer companies' earnings reports, you're starting to see signs that some shoppers are turning away from more expensive products, that companies are continuing to face challenges around how much they're paying their workers and their delivery contractors and all the things that need to get done to get products to consumers. So I think these numbers are an illustration of a lot of the concerns that investors have had in the back of their minds and are now showing up in a very real way.
The Republican Senate primary in Pennsylvania is still too close to call and could be headed for an automatic recount. A razor-thin margin was separating celebrity doctor Mehmet Oz and former hedge fund chief David McCormick. Since Pennsylvania doesn't allow mail-in ballots to be counted before Election Day, the state is slower than others in processing those votes. Aaron Zittner, news editor and reporter in our Washington bureau, says no matter who wins the GOP primary, Pennsylvania will be a key state in midterm elections.
It's the Democrats' best hope to pick up a seat now held by a Republican, which is really important because we have an evenly divided Senate with 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans. And Democrats have a lot of seats they're defending, and they need to look for places where they can gain a seat. Pennsylvania is the only state where there's currently a Republican senator who's leaving in a state that Joe Biden won. So we know Democrats can win in Pennsylvania statewide because they did in 2020.
Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman won the Democratic Senate primary on Tuesday, beating out Representative Connor Lamb, who ran a more centrist campaign. After years of legal pressure, the U.S. women's and men's soccer teams will now receive equal pay under new labor deals reached with the United States Soccer Federation. Members of the U.S. women's team filed a complaint 6 years ago and sued U.S. Soccer 3 years ago, arguing that they were paid less than the men's team, despite winning the last two World Cups. The new agreement gives players on both teams big raises, according to the head of the Women's Players Association. It also puts them on equal footing for appearance fees and performance payouts, including game bonuses. The teams have agreed to pool and split the prize money for tournaments, including the World Cup, which have very different payouts. To do that, the men's players will give up some of their proceeds. Our senior sports reporter Rachel Bachman says it's a landmark equity deal, but it may not translate to other sports.
It's important to make a distinction between nonprofit organizations like the U.S. Soccer Federation and professional sports leagues like, for instance, the WNBA. Nonprofits have a broader mission than just turning profits. And one of the elements of U.S. Soccer's mission statement is actually gender equality. And so this certainly moves a long way toward that end. At the same time, the U.S. women's soccer team does generate quite a bit of revenue for the U.S. Soccer Federation, so it really is a force to be reckoned with on all counts.
The head of Planned Parenthood says the group is deploying its resources across the country, from the executive branch to American businesses, to prepare for a Supreme Court decision that could overturn Roe v. Wade next month. Speaking at the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything Festival, CEO Alexis McGill-Johnson said the nonprofit would be setting up regional logistics centers to help patients navigate healthcare.
We are also working to build the technology, right, through abortionfinder.org to help people understand kind of what their options are. As you know, it rapidly changes state by state. The number of restrictions that already exist while we have this right means that people need up-to-the-date information. They need access to resources to travel to get the care. And so coordinating with abortion funds as well as other providers to ensure that the appointments are available when people are making these long trips.
Nearly half of U.S. states have passed bans on most abortions that would take effect if Roe is overturned. More than a dozen other states have moved to protect abortion rights in state laws. And Martin Shkreli, the so-called pharma bro who became infamous for massively raising the price of a life-saving AIDS drug, has been released from federal prison early. Shkreli was convicted on federal securities fraud charges in 2017 and originally sentenced to 7 years in prison. But Shkreli's attorney Benjamin Braffman says he's been transferred to a halfway house after completing programs that allowed his sentence to be shortened. Shkreli has been banned for life from the pharmaceutical industry. Coming up, the deal between Elon Musk and Twitter is still on ice. What it would mean for either side to back out now, after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Is Elon Musk getting cold feet about buying Twitter? Yesterday, Musk said the deal could not go forward until he gets more information about the number of spam accounts on the platform. Twitter has said in filings that such accounts comprise about 5% of its daily active users, though the number could be higher. The latest public back and forth has raised new questions about whether the $44 billion deal will actually go through. But at this point, is there a way out for either side? Joining me now to explain is Wall Street Journal mergers and acquisitions reporter Kara Lombardo. Hi, Kara. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So, Kara, let's start with a basic question. Is it too late for either side to call off this deal?
If you recall, just a few weeks ago, Musk was actually eager to quickly finalize the deal. So in doing so, he threw in a lot of seller-friendly components to the merger agreement. For example, he waived all due diligence on Twitter, which is kind of similar to like skipping a house inspection, and then also gave Twitter the right to sue him to force him to follow through with the deal. Both sides also agreed to pay each other a $1 billion breakup fee if they caused the deal not to happen, but that only applies in very specific scenarios.
So let's talk more about that $1 billion breakup fee. How does it work? What burden of proof would fall on Musk if he were to call off the deal now? And could it end up costing more than $1 billion?
People wonder if Musk just has the option to pay $1 billion and walk away. But in practice, it's really not that simple. That fee kicks in only in certain circumstances. Those include if he fails to get the necessary debt financing, or regulators try to block the deal, or he can prove that Twitter's business has materially changed in a way that is bad for him. But if he can't show that he meets the criteria to simply pay the breakup fee, Twitter is pretty much guaranteed to sue him to follow through with the deal, as is its right in the contract.
It seems that a $1 billion breakup fee might be the cheapest way for him to end this deal, no?
If it's something he can meet the criteria for. But even if the contract is written in one party's favor or another, possibly in Twitter's, in practice, the outcomes are rarely clear-cut. Neither side wants to enter into a protracted legal battle, which would obviously involve mudslinging and cost tens of millions of dollars per side. And so that's why the most common outcome we tend to see is a negotiated settlement of some kind, which maybe could involve like a price cut or one side paying the other a one-time payment.
So what would canceling the deal at this point mean for Musk and for his finances?
At the moment, canceling the deal probably looks favorable to him because Twitter's stock is trading drastically below where he agreed to buy it for. And Tesla's shares, which he plans to use to pay for the deal, have also weakened. He agreed to personally contribute $21 billion of equity to the deal along with some partners, meaning he's on the hook to put down that much in cash. So even for the world's richest man, I think backing out of this deal could significantly change his finances.
And what could it mean for Twitter?
Twitter has just been making clear that it's committed to the deal. It's going to do everything it can to make it happen. I mean, if you look at it, Twitter right now has a market value of, I think, somewhere around or under $30 billion. Musk agreed to buy it for $44 billion. So a company in Twitter's position would be crazy to let the buyer off the hook easily.
Might Musk's tweets have anything to do with Twitter shares falling recently?
A lot of onlookers, you know, watch his tweets and wonder if what he's doing is simply trying to drive the price of the deal down. He obviously agreed to pay $44 billion. The stock is now trading well below that value. So it's possible this is all a dance that he's hoping could end in a price cut negotiation.
Carrie, you mentioned securities regulators a little earlier. Might they get involved here potentially if either side were to call off this deal?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, one of the things Musk has been preoccupied with is the number of spam accounts on Twitter's platform and whether the company has been accurately counting those. So if he does find a discrepancy, I mean, his legal team could always try to sue Twitter for misrepresenting those in previous filings. But I think there's a lot of questions about if that would be successful. And I should mention, in suing over Twitter's filings, he'd be dealing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, which he has his own history with and is even possibly under scrutiny right now for some of his Twitter filings with. So that could be a really interesting situation.
So, Kara, as we're all watching Twitter itself for clues where Elon Musk puts a lot of his latest moves, what are you hearing from experts and observers about what could potentially happen here?
Well, there are a lot of possible scenarios, you know, about who could sue who for what. But the interesting thing is that most tend to end up in the same place. In similar situations, we've seen two sides who disagree over what should happen with a deal often sue each other and then reach a settlement of some sort. But I feel like I need to throw out the disclaimer, obviously, that Musk's approach to deal making has been to do everything completely the opposite of what we normally see. So it's entirely possible that what we should be thinking the most likely outcome is something we haven't even thought of yet.
When might we actually see a resolution here?
So if the deal keeps moving forward as originally planned, there was a chance that it could close as soon as this summer. And it's still possible that could happen. If not, one never knows how long a potential legal battle could play on. But typically, companies seek to end those relatively fast to avoid the cost and distraction.
That's Wall Street Journal mergers and acquisitions reporter Kara Lombardo. Kara, thanks so much for your time today.
Always a pleasure.
And finally, Americans are known for not taking time off from work. But with COVID-19, that changed. The CDC had clear guidelines. If you're sick, stay home, isolate, and quarantine. And many companies expanded their sick leave policies. But workers may not actually be taking more days. According to research from the consulting firm Mercer, in 2021, salaried workers took just 4 sick days on average, the same as in 2018. Our workforce reporter Catherine Dill says the calculation has become more complex.
Many companies which had introduced additional banks of time for people to use to quarantine or recover from COVID or a COVID exposure have pulled back on those additional banks of time. And at the same time, while many people have a variety of different experiences with COVID when they do test positive for it, it does seem to be the case that many people now with later variants are experiencing milder infections. But, you know, there's still a great deal of uncertainty. No one really knows what's coming in the coming months. And for many people, they're also concerned about things like childcare disruption. So, for example, if you get COVID now and bankrupt your allocated sick time, staying home to recover and not working, what do you do if your child goes to daycare and gets it themselves in 3 months and has to stay home for 10 days? So there's still an array of concerns.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.